Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
Those same difficulties and struggles that God allowed David to go through and arranged for David to go through to shape him into the very leader that God wanted and knew David would be. It is not much different for you and I today, because it takes a moment to become a Christian. It takes a lifetime to become Christ-like.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
Well, I want to take one life and focus in on one that God puts as a high premium, because he himself was a rugged warrior. Actually, in the day in which he was a small lad, a shepherd boy that nobody knew about, that eventually became the king, the most well-known king of the land of Israel. And that is the story of David. We're going to be doing a continued series through the life and character of David. Really, a narrative story with timeless truths that I hope will be of a help to you. May I suggest to you the reason why we're going to end up studying David is because God's Word says in 1 Corinthians 10:11, now all these things happened unto them. Who's them? The children of Israel and the Old Testament. They happen unto us, 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, for our ensamples, are the examples to us. And notice why God says, this is why I've given to you these examples, so that they are written for our admonition. They're written for our admonition. They're written for our encouragement, our strength, our faith. That's why these are written. So we would be admonished and encouraged. And listen, don't miss this. So that God himself is taking these stories so that we really can't walk in his shoes, but we can walk with his God. We're doing this study not to elevate and imitate and get information about David, but about David's God. And I don't want you to miss that, because that is who and what the whole story is about. You say, well, why pick the life of David? Among others, out of this last year, as we've been looking at the story and the pictures of who God is and the portraits of God, the majority of the Psalms, 73 or so, are written by David. Let's take some time and study about that shepherd boy. Stories about his life, because David is more said about him than almost any other Bible character. You ask most people, have any kind of Bible knowledge, tell me about David. They will tell you about one of two events. What are those? One of them was when he was fighting big mouth, what's his name? Yeah, Goliath. About 16 years old, somewhere there. The other event is about what? Bathsheba. Probably 51, 52 years old. But there's a lot of events that happened in between all that. He really is a study in paradox and contrast, and we'll be looking at that in the days ahead. In fact, is next week, we'll be talking about David, and nobody that nobody noticed, and the importance of how God takes a nobody and turns him into his somebodies. We'll be looking at those times through the wilderness that David had and the lessons that are learned. Unbelievable stories. You see, the whole idea of David being a shepherd was more than just that he was a shepherd. God did take him as a shepherd because he led sheep, ultimately knowing, I'm going to have you lead people. A lot of leadership qualities and characteristics and lessons we'll be able to learn out of the life of David. But you also got to find that as far as David is concerned, David himself, that became great history for us. Frontline Magazine made this statement. He said, quote, all history is theological. Human history is the illustrated encyclopedia of the acts of God, a branch of general revelation and applied theology whereby God makes himself known to any man who has eyes to see it and a Bible by which to interpret it, unquote. You know why we study the Bible? We study the Bible so we can end up seeing who our God is. And he unveils himself through the lives of people that got on before us, knowing that in our own life, God will do the same. And that's why Psalms really unveil the emotions of man. David, that expressed those sorrowful times, the times of rejection, the times in which he had nobody else to go to, the times in which David had great elevation of his feelings and excitement and joy and rejoicing and praising, the times in which he was deeply close and moved with friendships like he was to Jonathan, and yet other times at the ends of his life in which he was so deeply sorrowful for the rejection of people that he thought were so close to him, like Ahithophel, and yet stabbed them in the back. David is a great illustration of being a shepherd. His life still speaks, and they're great, powerful words that he says. Some of them are found in this Psalm 78. Probably Hezekiah was the one that wrote Psalm 78, and he sums it up in these three verses, Psalm 78, verses 70 through 72. When you find, first of all, he chose David, also his servant, and he took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes, he was following the ewes is the idea he was tending and caring for those sheep. He had a desire for them, and he brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance, and the very sheep at a young age that he took care of. He had a natural desire, but not just a natural desire. Number one quality you see in David, and you will see it throughout his life, is number one, he had a righteous desire. He showed this righteous desire. You find this stated in 1 Samuel 13:14, when it says this way, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart." But not only that, number two, you also find as you read verse 72 in a synopsis form, you also find that David not only showed a righteous desire, but David developed real character. You end up finding this in Psalm 78. Says it this way, "So he fed them." Now, not just the sheep, but also the people that he was now going to be leading according to the integrity of his heart. The very Hebrew word integrity has the idea of soundness or innocence or unimpaired or having a simplicity of life. In other words, David developed this real character because integrity was about what you are when nobody's looking. That bone deep honesty that when God does this work of inner qualities, he's never in a hurry. If we stopped there, we would miss, I think, the most important element of all when you find at the end of verse 72 when it says, "And he guided them by the skillfulness of his hands." In other words, David not only showed a righteous desire and he developed real character, but what that says, he was practicing a responsible humility. He was an expert in shepherding. At that time in which he was anointed as king, we'll be looking in the future. And yet as soon as he was anointed king, where do you find David next? Back in the sheepfold, taking care of the sheep. There was this humility, this, "I'm just doing what I'm told to do." And so as we will be taking the days ahead and looking the life of David, I would say to you, my friend, that these qualities summarize the life of David because all of those are summed up in David had a heart after God. And those same difficulties and struggles that God allowed David to go through and arranged for David to go through to shape him into the very leader that God wanted and knew David would be. It is not much different for you and I today of the difficulties, the trials, the difficulties and struggles that we go through, the times of great joyful events and the other times of great sorrow, that all of those God uses to shape your life because it takes a moment to become a Christian. It takes a lifetime to become Christ-like. And if you've never had that moment in which you have, as the Bible says, to be born again, you have missed the very point and purpose for your life. Because the reality of life is it makes no sense and there is no peace and no satisfaction in a life without Christ. Jesus is not just a God, my friend. He is God. He said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You say, "What does that mean to me today, Pastor?" What that means to you is if you've never, ever had that settled assurance, if you die today, you spend an eternity in heaven, that's found in Christ, not in a religion. You say, "Well, Pastor, I've done that. I've taken Christ as my Savior." It wasn't just receiving him at a communion. It was taking him as my Lord, my Savior, my boss. I've surrendered my life. You're the great shepherd now. That moment in time you become a Christian, now you have the process of becoming Christ-like, and God will take you through the same valleys and difficulties as He did with David. You say, well, now am I living in sin? No, but maybe you are. That's between you and God then to say, God, is this out of sin? Is this out of some suffering that you're purging me or now shaping me into your character? Because now you draw your heart to the very God. Is that your heart after Him? Do you have a righteous desire? Are you in a place to say, God, develop real character into me? I'm not going to fight against you. Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do. I'll surrender myself to you. Find yourself as well as being responsible in your own humility. Realize, God, anything that you do out of me is only attributing to those people that invested their life into me, including yourself. You might be here today and you've never had that moment in time where you have met Him personally. You might have pressures on you. Well, don't believe that. This is something about a Baptist teach. This is not about being a Baptist. It's not about being a Methodist or Lutheran or Catholic. This is about talking about not where you go to church. It's where you go when you die. Because, my friend, someday every one of us have a terminal disease called death. And you will face your Maker someday. And at that moment, you can have the confidence, according to God's Word, to say, God, I know you personally. Because at that moment in time, I realized I have no assurance of salvation. I'm a sinner. The law describes me as a sinner. And I need today to take you as my Savior. You provided the payment for that sin. And now I have you as my Savior. You are my shepherd. And as we close, I would ask of you, in the days ahead, we're going to be looking at David, this great example of a shepherd. You might be here, and just as David, who was, as one author said, the golden hero whose light shone through that tarnish. God doesn't expect you to be perfect. He does want you to have a whole heart that only He can give, my friend. Maybe today, you as a sheep, you've taken Him as your shepherd. You're a Christian. But you've wandered away, done your own thing. Maybe you need to, again, bow your heart before Him. Thank Him. As a loving, guiding shepherd, as David tended those sheep, so He tends after you because He cares about you. Everything is Father-filtered. Everything is passed through the shepherd's gaze. Thank Him for it. Encourage yourself in the Lord. If you're here today and you have really, you're unsettled about your eternity, every one of us has eternal existence. Not everyone has eternal life that's only found in Jesus Christ. You say, how do I do that, Pastor? You can sincerely and simply ask Him. Tell Him right now, you are a sinner. You need Him as a Savior. As the Bible says, repent. Turn from your way. Change of mind that results in a change of action. Recognize, Christ, you are the one that came to this earth to save me, died on a bloody cross for my sin. I want to take you as my Savior today. I turn over the controls of my life to you. Please, save me, because God Himself hears the prayer of that sinner, of you today. Maybe you need someone to assist you in leading you to Christ. It's not about joining this church or baptism or communion. It's about your relationship to Christ for eternity. We can do that with you. You say, I'm uncertain about that. We can help you with that.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.